Well, it's still Easter, and it kind of feels that way today. If you look at the sunshine, see it shining through our beautiful stained glass windows, and a reminder that Easter goes on, it doesn't end. So we continue the celebration from last week, and we offer to you the grace of God and the peace of Christ as we gather on this second Sunday of Easter. We welcome those who have gathered in person and those who gather online. Our Easter celebration got off to a good start last Sunday and continues today. I am Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined by our worship team, production engineer, chancel choir, and liturgist Gail Sawyer. Welcome. Today we welcome into the pulpit our pastoral intern, Rachel Garris, who will be giving today's message. It has been our privilege to partner with her as she begins her journey toward pastoral ministry, however God will lead. And Rachel has preached many times before, but today is a first for us. Welcome, Rachel. And it's good to have Reverend Art and Laura back with us today after a two-week hiatus where they just had a blast with family and otherwise. Saw some pictures on Facebook, I think. And Reverend Art begins a thought-provoking series today during our coffee hour or right after that in the Friendship Center. In the next several weeks, he will be exploring simple phrases that sound Christian and faithful, but sometimes miss the point and become burdensome for others. Today's topic is everything happens for a reason. That ought to be enough to have you stick around for more than just food. There is food back there today. It's kind of our potluck day, which means that some of you have brought some food that we'll share together. One of the things that we have been doing and a partnership we have maintained is with Lansing Southside Ministries, was just a few blocks down the street, and the director is Vicki Nichols. We've been talking for a little while that we'd like to have Vicki come and share with us. She's here today. So, Vicki, would you share? Where'd she go? Where'd Vicki go? Oh, there she is. Come on up, Vicki. I think he's got the microphone cued for the lectern. Again, Vicki Nichols, the director of Southside Lansing Ministries.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Greetings from South Lansing Ministries. I've been wanting to get here to thank you all sincerely for the donations that you provide to us every month. It's truly a blessing. We've been serving close to 300 people every month. And with the prices of groceries going up, we anticipate that number going up. As a matter of fact, last week we had a mother call in tears who said, "I haven't had to come to you for help since last summer when the kids were at home, but they're on spring break this week, and we're running out of food." And this happens so many times. A lot of these children get free breakfast and free lunch when they're at school, but then when they're off for Christmas break, spring break, and summer, they're eating at home, and the grocery bill goes way up. We have another woman who's been with us for a long time, who's in her 80s and is raising 8 grandchildren. God bless her, right? And she's a regular with us every month and comes to us. And every month she breaks into tears and thanks us and blesses us for helping her, which is really humbling. But your donations of personal needs and food really help us to do that. And so I wanted to thank you for that. The Greater Lansing Food Bank says that 82,000 neighbors in mid-Michigan are looking for food assistance each month. That's just our Tri-County area. 82,000 families. That's a lot of people that have food shortage. I want to read you just a little thing and then I will sit down. This is titled Empathy, and the author is unknown. Let me hold the door for you. I may never have walked in your shoes, but I can see that your souls are worn and your strength is torn. Under the weight of a story I have never lived, so let me hold the door for you. After all you've walked through, it's the least I can do. Thank you again so much. I look forward to seeing you.
Vicki, we have looked forward to seeing you, and you have blessed us today and inspired us as you always do. So may God help us to continue to bless Vicki, the ministry, and especially those that depend on us. 2 weeks from today, on April 21st, when Art and Laura will be gone, we welcome Kelly Hampton to our fellowship time following the service. Kelly is my niece, who recently moved from Naples, Florida, to East Lansing. Some years ago, her second child, Nella, was diagnosed with Down syndrome at birth. As a gifted writer, Kelly began a daily blog which chronicled her experience in parenting. Her blog quickly attracted millions of followers, yes, millions, which resulted in a book that she wrote entitled Bloom, which landed on the New York Times bestseller list. And recently, her oldest child, who is a sophomore at East Lansing High School, has been diagnosed with a rare disease called hereditary spastic paraplegia that will impact her ability to walk and move. Kelly will share her parental journey as she has shared with me, as she courageously and gracefully navigates these monumental challenges. So I would just put that out there for you. That might be something that would mean an invitation to someone else to come and hear Kelly. Today is Communion Sunday, which we will observe together at the close of the service. As always, we share an open table where all will be invited and welcome to the table of our Lord. This week, I will be attending the annual Congregational Ministers Convocation in Mundelein, Illinois, at the campus of St. Mary's University, St. Mary's on the Lake. It's a beautiful facility, and I will be traveling with four other congregational ministers in my car with a trip to Metro Airport early tomorrow to pick up my friend, Reverend Norm Erlinson, who will be arriving from Stonington, Connecticut. He'll be traveling with us, and then I will return on Thursday, just in time for musical rehearsals on Thursday. I didn't want to leave this big gaping hole in choir practice. I'm just kidding. Today's worship theme, as you can see in your bulletin, is Faith Through Fear. Rachel's chosen lectionary passage is the gospel narrative traditionally entitled Doubting Thomas, but I think there might be a little different take on that this morning. We'll just wait and see. The anthem that the choir will sing could easily be called Thomas's Song this morning, in keeping with the theme. Your bulletin has a lot of information in it, lovingly prepared for you. But now let us turn our attention to matters of worship and prepare our hearts.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
Our Easter journey is just beginning. 6 more weeks, to be exact. Today, our journey takes us to a very special moment with Jesus and his disciples. But instead of a celebration, the disciples were fearful and full of doubt. Jesus could have chided them for their fear. Rather, he spoke comforting words of peace. That's the way it always is with Jesus. During our worst moments, when we have difficulty believing, and when fearful circumstances overtake us, Jesus brings peace. How comforting to know that in our doubts, and even in our faith, in our fear, faith can come alive. So in our singing, praying, listening, and reflecting today, we can be honest before God without fear of judgment. It can lead us to greater faith. That is cause for continuing our Easter celebration. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come before you this morning with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. We thank you for the gift of another day, for the opportunity to gather as a beloved community of faith, bound together by our love for you and for one another. We ask for your presence here in this place. Open our hearts and minds to receive your wisdom and guidance as we reflect on the scripture from the Gospel of John. Grant us the courage to embrace the message of hope and transformation found within these verses. May the stories of encounters with the risen Christ ignite within us a renewed sense of faith and purpose. In moments of doubt, strengthen our belief. In times of fear, fill us with your peace. And in every step of our journey, remind us of your unfailing love that knows no bounds. Bless our time together, O Lord. May our worship be pleasing in your sight, and may it inspire us to live out your love in our daily lives. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen.
By the mind.
I'm on the right page. While we do not pass offering plates here at Mayflower, there are receptacles at each entrance to the sanctuary, if indeed you have come prepared with a financial gift. But giving to God is a very important part of worship. Therefore, we offer God our money, cold and hard, or crisp and easily blown away. When we give to God, our money is transformed. No longer cold, we receive the gift of a warm smile, the satisfaction of a power bill paid, a mission meal prepared, or a baby box provided. No longer hard, someone receives the kindness of a helping hand, or the sustenance of a salary received. No longer crisp, we can see the dried tears of sorrow comforted and the mellowness of good food and company shared. No longer easily blown away, but lasting and unchanging, God's love permeates our world and changes our lives. So, we now, as a holy act of worship, offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we thank you for this good weather, the warming signs of spring, and the budding flowers, including all those flowers out on the tree in our parking lot that will soon come alive, the leaves that come out. In our continuing Easter celebration, we can be sidetracked by the distraction of things in this world that can cause us angst and fear, greatly so. We pray that you would help us rise above political division, which can harm friendships, make us fearful to speak our conscience, and can sometimes divide the church. In our worship today, may we hear the words of Christ as he speaks peace to our hearts, shows us his wounds, and offers us hope, not only for a life beyond this world, but with a quiet courage to face the future unafraid. Instill in us the confidence to believe that what we hear and say in our worship can affect what we do and who we influence for the cause of God's love in Christ. We pray this to be true both locally and globally, as we accept the challenge you have given us to be agents of love and change at home, in our beloved community, and indeed the world. Be with those who suffer loss, whether by the death of a loved one, or perhaps by earthquake, wind, fire, or flood. Be with those anxious refugees who seek a better life around the world, including those who gather at our own borders. Give us the compassion to do more than simply turn them away. Be with Pastor Rachel as she shares her heart and the scriptures with us. Help us to pray always, remembering those who we remember now, right now, and lift to you by mentioning their first names. Lord, hear our prayers and help us now as we pray together, as you have taught, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. This passage encapsulates themes of faith, doubt, and the transformative power of encountering the risen Christ. We will witness a series of encounters that take place after Jesus' resurrection. These encounters not only reveal the reality of Christ's triumph over death, but also offer us profound insights into our journey of faith. Hear now these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be to God.
As Rachel makes her way to the front, I would like to personally, as a pastor of this church, welcome Rachel to the pulpit. She has been welcomed in many other ways, but I met Rachel several years ago, and it began a journey and a friendship that has come a long way. Part of that journey has been her sharing with me her own journey of faith, and especially as it relates to a special call that she has received to pursue a ministry that would be beyond where she has been at this point. So, just so you know, Rachel is a teacher at East Lansing High School, has been there for how many years, Rachel, if you don't mind me
24.
Saying? 24 years. I have some relatives that have been her students and gone with her overseas. And so Rachel, as I mentioned before, it's not her first time to preach, and she has been actively involved in ministry, some of it in a pastoral way, for the last number of years. And so I heartily welcome Rachel to our pulpit today.
Thank you. This topic seems very appropriate today because Mark's been talking me up so much that I definitely have some fear and self-doubt coming into this. So thank you for that. Just kidding. I didn't tell you, but I had the privilege of meeting Lainey last week. And Lainey is Kelly's daughter, who Mark was telling you about at the beginning of the service, and she is so delightful. Ball of sunshine. April 21st, you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So highly, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that. I also read Bloom, so
what?
I read the book. So it was, yes, so very good. Anyway, sorry for all that. Let us pray, church. Dear Father, be with us in our time together today. Be in my words and in our hearts as we reflect on your message. Amen. Take a breath. So today is a really big day for me. I want to take a moment to thank you all for your welcome and support through and your budding friendships as I have received in my 3st months here at this church. I know that God has guided me to this place at this time. I'm not quite sure yet exactly what he's equipping me for, but I am confident that my time at Mayflower will help me prepare for what comes next. Some of you have asked me, so what is a pastoral intern? My response has been, well, I think we're trying to figure that out. My short-term goals are to get to know the beloved community of Mayflower, to get some practice speaking in front of the church, and to observe and learn from Pastor Mark, as well as from all of you. I wanted to take this opportunity to open myself up to you all today. You may be wondering, who is this lady and what is she all about? Can I trust her as a spiritual leader? I want to be as transparent with the church as possible. So if you will allow me a personal story. Not too long ago, I went through a period of deconstructing my faith. Deconstruction is a current phenomenon in America where Christians, especially those from evangelical background, rethink their faith and jettison previously held beliefs. Sometimes this results in the person deconstructing, letting go of Christianity altogether. I started questioning my faith when I saw how some of the loudest Christians in our society were not using their voice to spread Christ's message of love. In fact, the message I was getting from the evangelical Christianity was so opposed to the message of love I get from Christ. So down the deconstruction rabbit hole I went. I questioned everything, from the doctrines and dogmas of the church, to the Bible, to even God himself. I tried desperately to reconcile what I was seeing in America with whom I knew Christ to be. Part of the process was to ask, why are some Christians so hateful? I have been told, for example, by one of my own family members, not my mom, by the way, that I was going to hell because I wasn't a member of their church. My beliefs didn't matter, how I lived my life didn't matter. What mattered was I didn't have the right membership card. Does that sound like Christ to you? If someone told you you were going to hell if you didn't join Mayflower, would you still be sitting in the pew today? Is this a message of inclusion and love? I have seen the Bible being used as justification for systems of oppression. Women can't speak in church. Members of the LGBTQ+ community can't join the church. Slavery is condoned. And yeah, the Bible can be used to justify all those perspectives. But Christ's message was different. He presents women as models of faith. He preached a gospel of inclusion. And he taught us to love our neighbor. So why is there this disconnect between Christianity and Christ? While I admit I don't know for sure, I think a possible cause for the beliefs of some Christians is fear. This brings us to today's passage. We find the disciples in the upper room with the doors locked in fear of the Jewish leaders. I think about these closest friends of Jesus. Their friend and leader has recently been tortured and brutally murdered publicly. They are in mourning. They are living in a crippling fear of the fallout from Christ's crucifixion. They are missing their friend, and they are scared. Fear is a powerful motivator. When Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him three times, Peter responds by saying that even if it means he will die with him, he will never deny Jesus. We all know that Jesus' prediction was spot on. You can reread that story in Luke 22. Peter has no intention of denying Jesus, but that's exactly what he does. Why? I think it's fear. So how does Jesus respond to the disciples' fear? He greets them with peace. He shows his friends empathy. He knows they are suffering, and he offers peace. Don't we all crave validation and understanding? Jesus gives his friends just that. He doesn't chastise them for their fear. He doesn't condemn their disbelief. He meets them where they are and blesses them. Most of the Christians I know like to focus on Jesus' divinity and truly to perform miracles and live life the way he did would require something supernatural. However, I am comforted by Jesus' humanity. It gives me peace to know that Jesus understands emotion, temptation, and the overall human condition. He understood the disciples' fear because he experienced fear himself. In the garden, he begged the Father to take the cup from him. Again, see Luke 22. Knowing what he had to do to go through and to go through for our salvation must have been terrifying. And what does God the Father do? He sends an angel to strengthen him. Jesus ultimately works through his fear and accepts what he has to do. Cognitive psychology teaches that feelings are part of the human condition and they give us information. If you are feeling angry, you might be experiencing a violation of your boundaries. If you are feeling burned out, your needs might not be being met. If you are feeling afraid, you may be perceiving a threat or danger. The threat to the disciples was real. The Jewish leaders were after them. They tried to suppress this new religion that threatened their power. Do you all remember the yard signs during the height of COVID that read faith over fear? Maybe you read it on a t-shirt or saw it on social media. While I understand the sentiment behind the phrase to be intended as one of hope, it always rubbed me the wrong way. What it said to me was that if you had enough faith, you wouldn't be afraid. Fear and faith are not opposites. As Christians, we can use our fears to show empathy to others. We can work through our fears to accomplish great things for God's glory. Jesus responds to the disciples' fears by offering them peace and the Holy Spirit. He meets them where they are and provides for them what they need. He then commissions his friends to work through their fear by sending them out just as the Father sent him. Jesus also shows this kind of empathy to his friend Thomas. Thomas isn't there when the disciples see Jesus for the first time after the resurrection. Who knows what was going on in his mind when the disciples told Thomas the story of our risen Lord? Perhaps they thought he imagined it, like they were missing Jesus so badly that they manifested him. Maybe he thought to himself that their story was just too good to be true. In comes Jesus, again, providing Thomas exactly what he needs. He doesn't condemn him for his disbelief. He doesn't ignore his doubt. He walks right up to him and offers his hands and his side. This again, after he offers the disciples peace. Once Jesus meets Thomas where he is, he then challenges him to believe. I consider myself to be a questioner. I believe that doubt isn't the absence of belief, but it's the way to strengthen our beliefs. When we ask questions, we are actually trying to reconcile our beliefs. If something doesn't make sense, it means it needs further exploration. Doubt isn't a weakness. It is a pathway to deeper understanding and stronger faith. I don't think there is any question that Thomas's encounter with the risen Christ strengthened his faith. Don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. It will bring you closer to the truth. The story of Thomas proves that if we bring our doubts to Jesus, he will meet us with patience, compassion, and understanding. He will give us what we need to strengthen our faith. This scripture passage ends with Jesus blessing those who have not yet seen and yet have faith. He's talking about us. Jesus blesses us because we believe without having physical proof of the risen Savior. We have transmitted our faith from one generation to the next through testimonies of our personal encounters with Christ. I encourage you to take some time to reflect on the origin of your own faith. Did you go to church with your parents when you were young? Did a friend invite you to youth group? My guess is that your faith originated with the testimony of someone else. Where have you encountered Jesus in your life? Do you see him in nature? Is he reflected in the love of others? What testimony can you pass on to the next generation of Christians? Friends, I have experienced fear and doubt in my faith and in my journey. Yes, my faith has at times been a comfort to me, many times. But it has also been a source of wonder and the unknown. I often lack understanding. Faith is a spiritual journey. We are constantly growing and widening our understanding of our Creator. Belief without seeing requires a conscious choice to trust in the testimony of others, the witness of Scripture, and the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a decision to embrace the truth of the gospel, even in the absence of tangible proof. Jesus acknowledges the blessedness of this choice, affirming the spiritual significance of faith that arises from conviction rather than sensory perception. Ultimately, after all my searching and questioning and deconstructing, I chose Christ. Jesus' message of peace, social justice, inclusion, and love is too powerful to ignore. I see Christ in those who stand with the marginalized. I feel Jesus' presence when I witness acts of love. I know that I am part of something bigger than myself when I interact with the beloved community. We are on this spiritual journey together. I am excited for the future. I look forward to where this journey takes us. I feel blessed by these newfound relationships and opportunities. I know that God is present in this church, and that he will meet us where we are, whether that's a place of doubt and fear or celebration and rejoicing. Today I rejoice. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
It's going to take me a minute to gather myself here. That was wonderful, Rachel. And before we begin our communion today, I'll just say once again, I'm standing with two people here that have offered me friendship and support and love that I've rarely known. But it also reflects the kind of friendship, love, and support I received from all of you. So add in a couple of these partners in crime, and we're good to go, folks. Including the wonderful gang up here that actually lets me be a part of them. So, but before we begin our communion today, are you prepared with this, Deanne? I think she knows what's coming. We've done this before. I think it would be just a good opportunity to just stand and take a few moments to greet one another, and I do want to give you a little hint about something. We have people here today that were members of this church about 30 years ago. So if you think you might be sitting near those people, you might want to seek them out. We're going to take, I think it's two verses, and then it's all over with, right? Two verses of whatever, and then we won't let it go on forever, but greet each other, pass the peace of Christ. You didn't recognize them. The folks that were here. I think Barb.
Somebody talked a little bit.
Oh, thank you. That's my goal.
You hit the nail on the head, Rachel. I couldn't be more proud. I mean that. You got the mic, so. All right, you have your ritual of communion. It's far more than that, but it is our way. And so take that in your bulletin, and we will share together in our time of communion. Let's begin by offering our confession to God. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask you for forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you in the name of your Son. Amen. Hear now these words of assurance. We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander, or how far away we feel from God, We never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right and good and a joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turn away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made the covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy. God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
I would invite the servers to please come forward. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, sins, and disappointments and present ourselves to God who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives.
On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
We'll serve as we usually do. Let us eat together.
Now, the confirmation.
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
And now we'll share together in the prayer of thanksgiving. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ask you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another. Through him, our Redeemer. Amen. Thanks to our servers today.
Thank you.
we carry with us the courage to confront our doubts and fears, knowing that in the midst of uncertainty, the love of Jesus shines even brighter. Let us depart from this place to be witnesses of our faith through love, empathy, and understanding. Lord, bless us all. Amen.
Dancing Congregationalists, my goodness, what's this world coming to? Well, what's coming is joy in our hearts. And it's a particular joy this week because I didn't have to prepare a sermon. And we heard a wonderful sermon today. So thanks again, Rachel. Thank you, Vicki, for coming and sharing with us. You know, you have speaking gifts too, Vicki. But part of that is the ability that when people speak, they can see through to your heart. And that's so important. And thanks, Art, for being here again today. It's good to have my buddy back with me and his lovely wife. We're going to be scheming everything we can.